Well, hey there. Thank you for joining us for another edition of The Journey of Hope with Rodney Mathers. Glad you could be here with us. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. Tiffany Falvey's on the show with me today, and Tiffany is a life coach, a certified professional life coach, and is dedicated to helping people achieve their goals. And we have a rather nice conversation with Tiffany. I don't know why, but I got so tongue-tied during this interview. You remember that? But Tiffany has got some great things to say about adjusting to life when we come home from incarceration. We're going to talk about coping skills, relationships, lots of stuff like that. We're going to get with Tiffany right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Sure would like to get an email from you. I'd like to know how you're doing. How is your reintegration going? Problems that you've run into, successes that you've had, you can tell me about it at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney @yahoo.com. And if you have suggestions for the show, drop those in as well. Love to hear from you. mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Hey everyone, welcome back. Tiffany Falvey is on the phone with me today. Tiffany is a certified professional life coach and is dedicated to helping people achieve their goals. She's got a company called Doorways Life Coaching. Welcome, Tiffany.
Thank you, Rodney, so much for having me.
Could you start off just by telling us a little bit about yourself, and that way we'll have an idea where you're coming from. Tell us a little bit about Tiffany.
You know, I grew up kind of a student of life. I've always been interested in people. I've always kind of studied what makes them tick, what makes me tick, and how we all interact and how we can create. I'm really a big believer of manifestation. I've always been gifted at it. And so I've made it my mission to not only help people learn how to manifest that which they want, but at the same time, I study the events that come into our lives and how that's all part of the process. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by part of the process is every experience and or event that comes into our life gives us a tool that we can use to manifest that which we want. And I'll give you a quick example of that.
Okay.
When I had my last son, I have five kids, and when I had my last son, I contracted a virus in the sixth month. And I didn't know that I contracted the virus. I had my little boy, and he turned out to be severely brain damaged. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I thought, what's the plan with this? This is not part of my plan. Mm-hmm. I didn't plan this. So it brought me into a stage of realizing, wait a second, this is part of the plan, and how is this actually working out for my best interest? Not only my best interest, but my family's best interest. And the whole community's best interest where I live. And the second I shifted into that arena, everything changed. The whole world changed. And this little boy, who is what they call Hello Angel, has just touched and shifted so many lives. And that's pretty much my story and where I came from and what really gave me the motivation and the passion to start helping people create the life they want out of whatever they've experienced thus far. Because we all have a different story. We all have different experiences. We have some that we label good. We have some that we label bad. But I believe every experience is there to help us move into the next area of our life.
Okay. That really does lead into my next question. It has to do with coping. So let's talk about coping for a second. When someone goes to prison, and you know that this audience here is ex-offenders, when someone goes to prison and they come out, their past is magnified a million times, but they're not that person anymore. And there's this strange dichotomy that people have to cope with. It's a changed perception of the way people think socially about someone, but you're not that person anymore, and so the coping is difficult. What can you tell us about ways to cope?
That's a great question, Rodney, because I think it's something that everyone asks themselves from time to time. And my belief on it is the first thing that we need to do when we're in a coping environment is to look at where we want to be. And I don't mean physically, but I mean emotionally. So as we're coping, we're normally in a darker space, because coping is like treading water, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in that dark space, I think it's important to say, how would I like to feel? Happiness, joy. You can go across all the positive emotions and decide. You get to make a choice on how it is that you'd like to feel. And in that moment, when you say, you know, I'd really like to feel excited about my future, or happy about my future, or I'd like to feel, there are so many different emotions that any different person can choose. It's their unique emotion. But after you decide the emotion, you ask yourself, what thoughts do I need to have to support this emotion? Mm-hmm. It's part of the reason that your audience would be having some of these heavy feelings is they get caught up in the judgment, what other people are thinking of them. And that's not even their emotion. That's other people's emotion that they're bringing onto themselves. So if they can step away from what other people's thoughts and opinions are and look towards what their thoughts and opinions are, truly, what are their thoughts and opinions, and where do they want to go in the future, and start picking thoughts that support that. Every single minute, we have to police our thoughts. And I know that sounds funny, but you watch those thoughts come through, and you get to be, you're the guard. You're the one who says, hey, this thought is not productive for where I want to be. It's not going to help me get from A to B. So what's a thought that would? And we're all going to get thoughts that come in at any given moment that aren't going to support us. So in the beginning, when we're coping, we have to train our brain to have only thoughts that support us on the path that we want to go.
I really like that answer. So much of what happens to us in life begins in our thought life, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Thoughts create feelings, and feelings create action. And it's a direct correlation. So whatever you think in that moment, you're going to feel almost instantaneously. And when you feel a certain way, you're going to act a certain way. And sometimes that's why you see repeat offenders.
Mm-hmm.
They have a thought that they're an offender and they feel bad about it. And then they have a feeling, you know, which is kind of a rotten feeling. And then it produces an action. When we're feeling rotten, we all take rotten actions. That's mm-hmm. just human nature. It's what we do. And that's why it's important. You've never seen someone walking around that has a happy thought that winds up taking a terrible action.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. And there's that, which is excellent, but then there's also another piece that are facts. And what I'm getting to here is the ideal of acceptance. you know, there are some things that we can't change, and things are the way that they are. What can you tell us about that in terms of acceptance? How do we accept, if we're a felon, that there were goals that we may have had that we're not going to reach because of that? I mean, because there are facts. And so talk to us about acceptance.
Well, I think acceptance starts with realizing that we all have in some way been a creative driver of our life. Nothing has happened to us. We chose, every single day we chose an action or a thought that created where we're at today. So whether that's incarceration, whether it's marriage, whether it's having a child, we were co-creator of that choice. And if in fact we were co-creator of that choice, when we get to the facts are we have created this past so that we could get to where we want to go in the future. So hopefully a lot of your listeners are now out with a future ahead of them. And yes, they have some facts that are probably going to be things that they have to work with that are maybe more or less than someone else's facts. But in reality, they have the opportunity to move forward consciously, and their history, their past, brought them to this moment right now that has given them the opportunity, the wisdom, and all of the passion to not go back to where they were before.
Well, hey, are you one of the many ex-offenders who made up their mind that they're going to learn how to play an instrument? I know so many men and women that did that while they were incarcerated. They said, when I get home, I'm going to learn how to play an instrument. And that's what I've done. And I've taken up a couple of instruments. I'm really not very good at it. But I use something called the Jam Buddy chord chart that really helps me. And what it does is it's taught me something called the Nashville numbering system, which enables me to play songs in every single key. It's a really cool little deal there. All you got to do is look to the right of the podcast and click on the link for the Jam Buddy chord chart. Check it out. I think you can get a free sample. Just take a look at it and see if it's something you can use if you are into playing music. It's the Jam Buddy chord chart. Hey, everybody, welcome back. We're talking with Tiffany Falvey. She's with Doorways Life Coaching. That's her company. She's a life coach there. And I told you before the break we were going to talk a little bit about relationships. Marriages can remain intact during incarceration, but it's been brought to my attention that a lot of those marriages fail when men or women come back from a period of being incarcerated. Let's talk about marriages for a second. What advice do you have in terms of getting back in touch with a spouse in terms of, you know, being together day to day and that sort of thing? What can you tell us about that?
Well, first of all, without knowing the intimate details of what goes on after an extended separation, because you would have the same thing with war, and I'm sure statistically it may be the same. It's a little tough to get back in the swing of things. I think my advice would be to get at minimum on the same page with your spouse or the person you're connected with and find out on a moving forward basis what their visions are in a way that is non-judgmental. Because maybe visions have changed on either side. Maybe they haven't. But it's important to decide as a conscious creator of your future, where do we want this relationship to go? Where do we want it to go? Because just because we've had it in the past for a decade or for 5 years doesn't necessarily mean with all the changes that's gone on that that's the healthiest thing in moving forward towards the future. I mean, anytime you see huge amounts of change, you'll see a change in job, you'll see change in relationship, you'll see a change in financial status, you'll see a change in demeanor. So I think that that's a huge part of what needs to be addressed when you're absent from a relationship to a certain degree, and you have change. You have absence, and you have change. So what has to happen is there needs to be a meeting of the heart and a meeting of the mind as far as what their goals are for the future. Because if you don't have similar goals, it's going to be close to impossible to be on the same path.
And, you know, people say that nobody really likes change. And I think there's probably a lot of truth to that. One of the things that I ran into when I came home, and thank God my marriage was able to stay intact while I was gone, but the roles had changed. My wife was the breadwinner now, and I wasn't anymore. And so dealing with that change, the whole concept of change is tough to deal with, isn't it?
Of course it is. But, you know, I have a question for you. How did that make you feel when you came back and you were no longer the provider?
Well, yeah, I see where you're going with that. And me and along with a lot of other guys, we don't like it, you know. And,
really?
And so, yeah, I mean, what you want to do in the idea thing is you want to step back into the role that you had prior to, you know, you want to take care of your family and this and that. But it's like we were talking about earlier with facts. It is hard to find a job when you come home from incarceration, when you have a felony record and so forth. So, and even if you do, I mean, I was a school teacher and I had, you know, I have a degree. And when I came home, the only job I could find was washing cars. You know, and so how did that make me feel? Like crap. And there are a lot of guys like me in that situation. And so when, you know, earlier when I was talking about acceptance, we don't have to accept washing cars for a living, obviously, but, you know, things have changed, haven't they? And so it's hard to deal with that. And that's why I like having you on the show, so you can help us, you know, try to figure out just how to be happy in that situation, right?
Well, in that situation, you know, listening to you talk about it, it reminds me of when you're incarcerated, to a certain degree, you're out of touch with the job force, right? You're not out there, you're not getting training, you're not getting experience. When you're working, you're constantly growing. You're getting better, you're getting more skilled at whatever job you have. I don't care if you've had it for 1 year or 15 years. You're constantly growing every day that you're on the job. So when you're incarcerated and you come back out and you find yourself washing cars, I think it's really important to remind yourself that you're learning to crawl all over again. And it's staged, because if you don't learn to crawl, you'll never learn to walk. If you don't learn to walk, you're never going to learn to go ride a bike. There's a stage that has to happen, and yes, it's happening twice in your life, because it may feel like I've already done it. I already worked my way through all of these channels. But there was something, there was a pause button hit, because there was some work that was important for you to do. It was all part of the plan. You did the work. Now you're out, and for some of you, it may go faster. You may be able to accelerate the process of crawling and walking and riding a bike and get your Harley or whatever it is that you want. But some of us, it may take a little longer because of the emotional things that are holding us back. And what I mean by that is you actually have to start feeling like, I am competent and capable to have whatever job that I feel like having or that I deserve to have. And when you can grasp onto that feeling and hold it in your body for more than a couple seconds, it will start to become closer and closer into your reality. Because like attracts like. We've all heard that like attracts like. And when you're vibrating on that level of, hey, I can do this job. I want this job. It's going to come in. It's going to come closer. It's going to come closer. But it may start at washing cars. It may start at a paper route. And there is no shame in any job. A job is a privilege. It doesn't really matter what the job is. I think that society has put labels on jobs, that some of the highest paid individuals I work with are the least happy.
Interesting. Okay, let's talk about forgiveness for a second. What role does forgiveness play into being a happy person? How does that work?
Well, I think the more important question would be lack of forgiveness. What role does that play in our lives?
Okay. All right. Go for it.
That can really hold someone back, because that's an energy that is, it's almost like giving someone else poison, or taking poison yourself and expecting someone else to be hurt by it. It's only hurting you. You're imprisoned by those feelings. Forgiveness starts within yourself. And I think that a lot of people like to throw it out there to other people. But really, I honestly believe at the bottom of forgiveness is looking in the mirror. I think that's where it all begins. Okay. Every starting point of forgiveness is looking at yourself with soft eyes.
Okay.
Recognizing you're a human being. You make mistakes. You have wins and you have losses. And it's all part of the game.
Okay. Tiffany, listen, it's a joy to talk to you. Tiffany Falve, she's got a company called Doorways Life Coaching. And Tiffany, how do people get in touch with you and find your company? How does that work?
I actually have a website. The name of the website is benefitsoflifecoaching.com. It's all one word. And you can email me at doorways@live.com.
Okay, one more time. Tiffany Falve, life coaching. She's got a company called Doorways Life Coaching. Very interesting points of view. I think it's something that we can all use. You want to be sure and check out some more on Tiffany. We'll provide a link there next to the podcast. Tiffany, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Rodney. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Have a nice day. We'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Well, hello there again. I want you to be sure and check out the show next time. We got a real cool guest, Lucy Smith, and Lucy is on the front lines of preparing offenders in the state of Texas to return home to society, and she's going to talk about the specific skills that are worked on. And Lucy, really interesting person. You want to be sure and check that show out. If you're an ex-offender, she's going to talk about the kinds of skills that you've got to have in order to successfully reintegrate. And it's also a good show for family members who have a loved one that's getting ready to return home. Lucy Smith, next time on The Journey of Hope. time to say goodbye. I want to thank my special guest, Tiffany Falvey, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? Be sure and check us out next time right here on The Journey of Hope.